This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Sumitra Selvaraj and Lim Soo Ann. And today, it's really all about the money. So, of course, the big news last Friday was the announcement of Budget 2020, which was the second budget announced under the Pakatan Harapan government. So we thought we'd spend some time looking at the allocations for three of the areas that we really talk about a lot here on The Bigger Picture. Women, the environment, and the arts.
So for women, the allocations have been largely getting positive response, with efforts being made to encourage women to both stay in the workforce and to return to work.
Sorry. Yes, and among the Alex, I'm just kind of a bit transfixed because this this announcement has my complete vote. Among the allocations announced for women aged 30 to 50 returning to work after being unemployed for more than a year, you get a 500 ringgit monthly incentive for 2 years. The employers themselves get a 300 ringgit hiring incentive each month for 2 years. And there's an extended income tax exemptions for these women until 2023. Nicely done.
Yeah. And the budget also listed a review to the Employment Act of 1955. And this will include one of the things that's being lauded quite a bit, which is to increase the maternity leave in the private sector from 60 days to 90 days.
Right.
And they're also talking about improving sexual harassment complaint systems and strengthening provisions against job discrimination, which is based on race, religion or gender.
Finally.
And in addition to that as well, we also have a 200 million allocation made specifically for women entrepreneurs to the SME bank. And while all of these initiatives have largely been lauded, there are some criticisms. So for example, we have the All Women's Action Society or AWAM. They've said that while these are promising, there needs to be more long-term initiatives to encourage women in the workforce. And AWAM has also called for more encouragement for women to further their studies in STEM fields.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is something that's going to come up, I think, throughout this idea of sustainability and long-term initiatives versus short-term initiatives.
Right.
But in response to these budget announcements for the betterment of women, Sumitra Viswanathan, who is the executive director of the Women's Aid Organization, released a video on their Twitter account. And here's what she had to say.
So this is my fifth budget as WAO Executive Director. And I have to say that this is probably the best budget that I've seen. And the reason for that is so many of the points that Women's Aid Advocacy has been lobbying for, we've been trying to raise awareness about, we've been wanting to see change. We've actually seen it come out in the budget and being addressed. This is a wonderful first step for addressing such critical social issues like improving women's labor force participation, ensuring the access, universal access to good standard-based childcare in the community, and also seeing that investment in social protections, investment in JKM, investment in the police, investment in all those arms of government that we need so that our lives can get better, can get safer, and be more protected. I'm really happy with this budget. Of course, it's not perfect. I'm so happy to see, for instance, investment into species protection, environmental protection. Again, not enough, but it's a first step. We'd like to see how the allocations for specifically for women, how they're going to manifest in the months ahead.
That was Sumitra Viswanathan, Executive Director of the Women's Aid Organization, responding to the Budget 2020 allocation to women's priorities. You will notice, though, that she did point out that where the budget was lacking was in its allocations for the environment. And that's one aspect that has been getting a lot of flack, particularly given that the climate crisis and species extinction are such pressing issues that we're talking about globally today.
I actually really like the fact that, you know, although we reached out to her, or rather, even though she looks after women's affairs, that she looked at what is really the bigger picture, yes, and looked at where it was really lacking.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So, so just to give you an idea of the measures that were announced that were for the environment. So we have a 30 million allocation for capacity building for the Department of Environment and the Department of Chemistry. We have 15 million ringgit for NGOs to save endangered species like tigers and orangutan. We have 20 million ringgit to hire rangers from amongst the orang asli and retired soldiers. And additionally, also the green investment tax allowance and the green income tax exemption is being extended to 2023.
However, on the flip side, the allocation to finance sustainable development goals initiatives, or SDGs, has been slashed from 1 billion to 10 million.
Mm. That's a huge drop.
Wow.
It's only 10% of last year's budget.
Considering that I think out of the 17 SDGs, I think we've only achieved one or are close to achieving one. Mm. Yeah, this was a little bit disappointing to me. And the allocation to conserve protected areas was reduced from 60 million to 48 million.
Yeah, and you know, oddly, it also seems like many of the allocations that are being parked or described as being under the environment measures were actually more mitigative measures rather than for actually conserving the environment.
Okay. Mm.
So such as 590 million to tackle flash floods or 100 million to help farmers affected by natural disasters. I mean, no doubt very important, necessary, but they are actually fixing problems that need to be addressed earlier rather than sort of scrambling to deal with these issues once they've already happened.
Mm, plaster on the wound.
Yeah. Mm. So I spoke earlier today to environmental lawyer Preeta Shankar to get her thoughts on Budget 2020 and what it means to environmental issues. Preeta, what are your thoughts on the budget allocation for the environment?
Overall, yes, there is an increase. I mean, according to the Minister, Xavier, there is an increase about 19.4% in the overall budget. But I think there's an issue that we shouldn't tie in an increase with the allocation to whether or not it indicates whether key priorities have been addressed in the overall budget this time for the environment. To me, I still see water, land, and natural resources still being seen as detached in some way. It's not looked upon in an integrated way that it should be. For instance, if you look at water supply, I think there was a 580 million allocation for water supply. And these are fundamentally infrastructure-based. There's not necessarily anything in there to indicate that water protection in terms of protecting water catchments and protecting them from degradation and those kinds of more environmental aspects related to water resources are taken care of. So there is still a slight disconnect between the huge portfolios and the sub-portfolios within that ministry in that sense.
Mm. What do you think some of the major oversights were in this budget in terms of the environmental issues?
I mean, it's really difficult to pack everything into a budget, Shamila. I mean, that's something we have to accept. I mean, we have two ministries now, and if we subdivide the portfolios, everything and anything really can point to it being an environmental issue or a natural resource-based issue. So I do understand that it's probably difficult to account for everything. I think the contention is where the focus is. If you looked at last year's budget, it was a little heartening in the sense there was an allocation, I think, of RM 60 million to be allocated to states for as an incentive to protect their protected areas. So these would have included state parks situated within the states. So we don't see a repeat of that in this year's allocation. What we see rather is just about a very general statement about $48 million being allocated towards protection of pristine forests and biodiversity. So biodiversity is a large chunk of the natural resources portfolio. And $48 million without a specific mention of whether that allocation is distributed to the state and for what purposes, again, shows that the last year's budget was a bit of a one-off where environmentalists would have liked to have argued that that is a trend that we would like to see the states consistently receiving these kinds of allocations from the federal government by way of a fiscal transfer. So that's disappointing to see. And the second point on that is we do see these few staples of initiatives coming up again and again and again. I mean, I think from the Trans-Malaysia plan onwards, we've seen initiatives such as the Central Forest Spine, the Heart of Borneo projects coming up again and again. So I'm not saying that these projects are not necessarily important. They are. But we simply don't know now what the overall contribution of these initiatives, which have been going on for about a decade, have been to environmental and natural resource sustainability and the overall objectives. So I think the generalization that they come up as obligatory staples in the budget, and we don't know where exactly the allocations are being driven. So if we don't know what the criteria were for the allocation, do we at least get to know what the criteria will be for the disbursement, especially for projects like this that have just seemed to go on and on without necessarily the public and stakeholders having an understanding of its overall contribution. So it's hard to say whether this is deserved or not if that's not indicated in the budget, at least to some extent.
So are there any upsides when it comes to the environment in this budget?
I really had to search for them, you know, definitely. I mean, there were a couple of huge omissions. I didn't see anything in relation to marine resources, and we know that there's been a decline, whether that's in the fisheries sector or when it comes to marine species or looking at our marine parks in general. So there's been a huge omission of those marine-related aspects in the overall budget. I am happy to see NGOs getting some allocation to do wildlife and wildlife trade-related issues. But I think also that we shouldn't overlook the Department of Wildlife's role as well. And that seems to have been lost in the mixed bag of allocations. I'm happy to see that there's some allocation. I think there's about $20 million that's allocated to get ex-military and forest rangers, and I think Orang Asli is involved in on-the-ground enforcement. That's really good to see. There's an inclusivity to that whole idea of getting local communities involved. But the question here is, apart from it being a shot in the arm for enforcement issues, again, does this suffer from the lack of sustainability? So where do we see this budget going in terms of putting in those institutional structures to be rest assured that enforcement issues isn't just about us allocating some monies every year to make sure that enforcement on the ground happens, but this is a long-term, very entrenched institutional way of looking at enforcement. So whilst I'm happy to see that there's some monies allocated for enforcement, I worry that this is just a popular sentiment, or this is something that is very, 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 very short-sighted. But I'd like to see that continue into something a little bit long-term. Why do we have enforcement shortages in the first place? Are those kinds of issues being taken care of? So I don't want to see a band-aid over a couple of these larger policy-based issues because there's an allocation. But overall, that's a good inclusion to have.
That was environmental lawyer Preeta Shankar sharing her thoughts on the allocations made under Budget 2020 for the environment.
Bit of a mixed bag, yeah, like she said.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that she pointed out, which was really important, is this idea of thinking long, like what are the long term, where does the money go?
Correct.
Because even the allocation from the last budget, there hasn't been enough of enough feedback for us to know how much of those how many of those programs actually panned out. Mm-hmm. How were those sort of large chunks of money divided between the various parties that work on these issues?
Actually, you're right. The bigger the tranche of money, the more worried I get. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you say something like, you know, half a billion ringgit for flood to mitigate flash floods, who does that go to?
Right. Yeah.
How does it get dispersed? Mm-hmm. How is it measured? What are the metrics of that 500 million being spent effectively?
And conversely, when you reduce an allocation the next time around, why?
Yes.
Because, you know, why was that done? What was the thought process? What didn't work previously? Mm. Or was that issue resolved? You know, that's not something that usually gets communicated to us, which is why we are asking you on social media about this feedback loop.
Right. Exactly. Because that brings it to the question of a review of budget allocations. And so we asked you on Twitter if we need a review of these budget allocations. So 62% of you say that yes, we do after 6 months. Mm-hmm. 29% of you say that yes, every month. But 9% of you say that no, we don't need a review because I trust the government. And, you know, if you want to take that poll, if you want, you can do it at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can also chip in with any thoughts, you know, whether you think we do need a review of budget allocations, why, or perhaps even what sort of mechanism you want to this sort of review to happen. Yeah. So you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 03-77-33-2900.
So that, you know, and on that note, the third area that we're looking at today for our post-budget 2020 discussion is the arts, which admittedly didn't see a huge allocation, and particularly because our government arts agencies and organizations are kind of oddly divided.
Right.
So while the Tourism, Culture and Arts Ministry did get an allocation of 1.1 billion plus 90 million for Visit Malaysia 2020, the allocation for the arts was actually listed separately.
Because Cendana, or the Cultural Economy Development Agency, got 5 million ringgit, 10 million to Think City, which is a community-based urban regeneration organization, fairly closely connected.
Yes, and neither of them actually sit under the Tourism, Culture and Arts Ministry.
So this is what I don't get, right? So when Cendana was set up, it was set up under the Prime Minister's department.
Yes,
correct?
And then under the new, with the previous administration.
Right.
So then I think what happened was with the new government last year, they sort of got, they've been parked now under the Ministry of Communication.
Right.
So that's why there's this, you know, slight odd allocation of the budget.
Yes.
And again, not a lot of clarity on how the money is being divided in terms of what the specifics are. But yeah, so that there has been some allocation, not a huge amount though.
Okay. Yeah, and in the midst of all this as well, there's also a separate announcement of tax exemptions of up to 1 million ringgit for art sponsorships by the corporate sector.
Yeah.
So it's quite a very confusing bag of different budget allocations.
Yes, because I would assume though that aspect of it would still sometimes come under the Ministry of Tourism as well. You know, because you are talking about things like concerts and festivals. So, yes, a little confusing for the layperson and even perhaps people who work in the arts industry. But to get a sense of what all of this means to the local arts community, I spoke to June Tan, who is a representative of the Arts Coalition Reformatsi. June, what are your thoughts on the budget allocation for the arts?
I think to me it's not clear what the government really wants to do with the arts, because there doesn't seem to be any kind of overall roadmap for it. There's no sense of how important is the arts to the country. And even looking at the kind of allocations for the different agencies, which actually do not come under the Ministry of Tourism and Culture, Arts and Culture, I mean, these are from separate ministries. So we're not really sure what is the position of arts. And I think that this is, in a way, a missed opportunity for the current government because, you know, looking at their kind of like their themes and their goals for the budget, shared prosperity, you know, equitable society, inclusive society, it's very clear, I think, to us that arts and culture should play a very important role in this development.
And the bulk of the budget, as you mentioned, was allocated to Cendana and Think City. Now, was this an effective way of using those funds?
I think for Cendana, they have been coming up with, they have been issuing grants to artists, which I think is a fantastic move. We're just not sure how effective this is in reaching out nationwide and also developing the arts industry, because what is clearly missing also is a sustained program for arts education. We don't have enough artists going into schools. We don't have enough schools looking at making art and kind of like a key subject in their curriculum.
What do you think were some of the main oversights, and what more can be done in terms of budget allocations for the arts?
I feel like the role of artists is not there. I mean, there is some allocation for research and development in the budget, but what about research and development into our own, you know, culture and heritage? You know, we have we can tap into the diverse groups that we have, and of course, our long history. You know, where is the research into that? There is also a sense of, you know, missing link is arts education for the children. And I think these are two key things for me. Mm. And of course, the sense of the artist. You know, how are you going to develop arts group and also the artist? There is there's money for, I think, tax exemption for corporate.
Right, yes. For corporate sponsorship and funding.
Corporate sponsorship. But how is that linked to actually helping an artist like put on work in terms of rehearsing, researching, gaining the skills to be an artist, and then also developing the audience for to come and watch this performance? You know, we're all talking about sustainability, so actually, what do we mean? So I really feel like the budget should look into this idea of if you're serious about the arts, to look into coming up with a roadmap actually for the arts, and then you can study the different systems that are really existing in other countries.
That was June Tan, a representative of Arts Coalition called Reformatsi. Mm. And again, this question of what is the long-term benefit to the sector you're trying to help, right? Because throwing money at an issue is not always the answer. Mm. And when you're not talking about things like arts education, a sustained plan for the livelihood of our artists, particularly the ones who live outside of the urban centres, are we really helping the problem, or are we just putting in stopgap measures?
Yeah, I'm feeling mildly cranky about this problem. but I think I'm going to save my ranting for the next segment.
So that was our look into three different areas under the Budget 2020, namely women, environment and the arts. Right. Tomorrow we'll be diving into the health allocation. Yes. So very important sector there. Do tune in at 2 p.m. tomorrow.
And don't forget, we have a poll going on Twitter. We're asking you if we need a review of budget allocations. Your options are yes, every month, yes, after 6 months, or no, I trust the government. You can take that poll at BFM Radio. If you have any thoughts about the idea of transparency or reviewing budget allocations, you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 03-7733-2900.
So we will be back after a quick break with more discussion on Budget 2020. But first, here's Money, That's What I Want by John Lee Hooker, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.